find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Soup.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? Them some thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
What's up? Good Monday.
It is good Monday.
What are you guys doing?
Just, sportsing.
Are you?
Yeah.
What do you mean? In what ways?
Oh, I can't.
Are you sportsing?
Daniel Jones versus the Pittsburgh defense? If that doesn't get your sports pants tight, I don't know what will. Catch the fever.
Steelers 21-0 in their last 21 on Monday night.
Are they really?
Yeah. Nice. They haven't lost on at home.
Yeah. Okay.
They haven't lost at home on Monday night since 1992.
That's tasty.
Daniel Jones,
yeah.
0-7 all time on Monday night.
What's the line on this?
Six.
Ooh. I don't like giving away points to the Steelers because their offense sucks. But, you know, Danny, the great Danny Meringue, has already talked me into laying some juice tonight on the Blazers, getting 12.5. What the hell? I'll lay some points with the Steelers. Let's do this.
Wait, so we're taking the points that the Kings are giving the Blazers tonight? Is that
what
you're saying?
Yes. Danny thinks there's some value on the Zers, and as I've stated many times, it does not take me very long to be talked into a game that I have no interest in.
It does when it's the Blazers.
You gonna watch that?
No,
but I'll bet on it. I'll throw $20 down on and see what happens.
You don't go watch the company of stock and, you know, operate their business. You just kind
of
throw
the
money at it and hope it does something for you.
I'll be watching the end of the World Series, and, you know, I'll be at a bar. I'll keep an eye on what's happening with the Blazer game, and, you know, hey, maybe that buys me a couple beers tonight. Let's do it.
I feel obligated to warn you against betting on the Blazers. I just feel like it's my duty.
The fact that you are so against this leads me to believe that I'm onto something here. And by me, I mean Danny. I don't know. I walked in, and that's all Danny got. Look, I was like, hey, tonight, there's some 12.5 back-to-back to Blazers. There's a little value there.
Yeah, the
Hey, they're coming off a big win.
They're playing the Kings.
Yeah.
And the Kings are 0-2.
Yeah, that's right.
Desperate for a win.
Yeah. Versus the plucky 1-1 Blazers?
I don't know.
Or actually, no, what? They're
1-2.
1-2.
I don't know if anyone should ever bet on Portland this year at all. Now, you can bet against him, and some nights you may just not bet. I get that. I get him saying, hey, tonight's not the night to fade the Blazers, but to bet on the Blazers?
It's all the more exciting. It's like when you're doing something you're not supposed to be doing.
You guys are asking for it.
It feels exciting.
Well, here's what's going to happen.
It feels like I'm doing something completely illogical and wrong, and it's great.
Well, you are. Yeah. And here's what is going to happen, or what could happen. You know, you might win.
Yeah.
But chances are you'll feel great about your bet after three quarters and lose it.
And then it comes crashing down.
Yeah. They'll be down by three with 3 minutes left and lose by 15.
There is nothing worse than three quarters and feeling that you're safe. Although, to be fair, there is no in sports now, I don't feel that there's ever a lead that I really feel comfortable. Like, it used to be in the NFL, if you had like a two-touchdown lead in the fourth quarter, you're like safe as kittens. Not anymore. And the NBA, I honestly don't know if there is a lead big enough in the NBA where I would feel comfortable. It's not a thing.
Did you hear about the big ticket that was blown at the Caesar Sportsbook on the Hail Mary last night?
Oh,
no.
How much?
$120,000.
Oh my
Bears
gosh.
Bears -2.5.
Tyreek
was going to clear it by half a point.
Oh.
So that 2-point conversion got them.
Got him in the money.
Oh. Well,
in the money before the play.
Yeah. Oof. Wow.
Tyreek Stevenson.
By the way, that's a terrible number. The Bears were getting points by game time. Why did he lay 2.5 or she or
I
them?
I don't know.
Them they.
No, couldn't tell you. But poor Tyreek, well, it's not poor because he's a dumbass, but Tyreek Stevenson, if you don't know, he's the DB that I have never seen this before in my life of playing football. I played football from when I was like 6 years old through a couple years in the NFL. I've covered it for 20 plus years. I have never seen a play where the fans had to tell a player that the play was going on. If you would have told me before that game that that was going to happen, I was like, dude, you're a dumbass. That has never happened in the history of football.
You know what I think happened there? I think that shed some light onto something that we have, because you and I have long talked about the the idea that anyone should ever convert a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
Why is that important? For porn, Whoops. Dan, porn.
Misfire.
It should be like one in every thousand attempts.
It just should never happen.
No.
But I think, and this is why I am the aforementioned, the United States leading expert on Hail Mary.
The first thing I thought last night when that happened is, would this have happened if Isaac was on staff?
It would not.
Yeah, Matt Eberflus said they practiced it, and I'm like, clearly not with Rob.
It is not. I think what we learned with that kid, Stevenson, dancing over there, pointing and laughing at the fans, right?
Mm-hmm.
While the play was going on. By the way, it didn't really matter. The play lasted 13 seconds. He got over there.
Yeah.
But he still screwed up once he got over there.
Yeah.
Then there was another guy. So I've watched that play multiple times.
Yeah, absolutely.
As your Hail Marys are. I owe it to you to break that down.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. That was 7-on-4 in favor of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And they still gave it up.
Yeah.
And I think what we learned is that, and I'm serious, it's very clear that players do not take the Hail Mary seriously.
Yeah.
They just think it's a prayer, which it kind of is, and it will never, they're just nonchalant about it. Because if you look at what Stevenson did, he was just over there, John with fan. Yeah, he got back over, but he's like, he obviously didn't think it was a big deal that they were throwing a Hail Mary. He's like,
and if he's there half a second earlier, he maybe makes a different play on that ball, because he's the one who tipped it.
There was another guy. So I watched all 7 of the Bears, four of whom went up for the ball, which, as any good Hail Mary expert will tell you, that should not happen. You have one guy go up for the ball to try to deflect it away, and you have everybody else box out, one guy on the front, one guy on the back.
It's universal.
So there was, if you go back and look at that play, there were two Bears double covering one of the receivers who was in front of the group that jumped up.
Yeah.
One of them did his job. I think it was number 41 who boxed that guy. He ended up boxing that guy out. Much like basketball, he's like, you're not getting the deflection.
Nope.
He turned around. His eyes were on the group. So if the ball came toward him, he could make sure that that commie's receiver would not catch the ball.
Yeah.
Very good play. Very well coached. Nice job. The other guy, have you seen what the other guy did? Have you watched it that closely?
I've watched
the other guy.
I've watched it multiple times.
What is he doing?
The problem is there's multiple guys in the back of the pile that all seem, for whatever reason, to all jump kind of at the same time from the back that serves no purpose.
But wait, we're going one at a time.
Yeah.
Stevenson is off being a goofball.
Yes, he's off to the side.
But he ended up getting into the scrum that jumps up for the ball.
Yes.
Okay. From what I understand, he was supposed to be the guy covering the guy behind he was supposed to be boxing out the guy behind.
I understood that too. That basically, based on where everyone lined up, he should have been connected to 85 Noah Brown, who caught that ball.
Right. Yes. And boxed him out and saw the ball coming and been able to get, you'd either catch it himself or deflect it away.
Yeah.
He did not do that.
No.
He made another mistake in just going up and jumping for the ball.
He tipped it.
But there were 7 Bears back there. 4 of them jumped up for the ball.
Yeah.
Why?
I have no idea.
What are you doing?
Go look at
the play again. And there's another guy
who
is not getting enough heat because Stevenson's taking all the heat.
Yeah.
But look at the two Bears that are double teaming the receiver in front of the scrum.
Yeah.
One of them peels off and boxes that receiver out. What is the other guy doing?
I see where you're going here. And
he's standing around. Again, they are simply not taking the play seriously.
No, there are two Bears standing, because the ball came up short. The ball didn't land in the end zone, which, again, play should be over. You just let the guy catch it and tackle him. But there's like two Bears like standing like on the 8 to 10 yard line. What the hell are you doing there?
Well, again, one of them does his job.
Yes, but the other.
The other, exactly. Yeah. This is my point.
Yeah.
What is that guy doing?
I can't tell you.
So
he's,
now you've
he's standing
taken,
there with his thumb up his butt.
So he's taking himself out of the play.
Yeah.
Number 41 covers the receiver who's on the right side of the play. Ball doesn't go over there, so they're fine.
Yeah.
At that point, you only have 2 other commie receivers.
Yeah.
It was 7-on-4.
Yeah.
They should have 4 guys denying the Commanders the deflection of that ball. 4.
Yeah.
And instead, they had 4 guys going up to somehow jump and get a finger on the ball.
It is fascinating,
as I've
taken a closer look at this. I did not notice the fact that the wide receiver at the 10-yard line is getting double teamed.
Yes.
What?
I almost wonder if this should fall under like a special teams category because it feels like the defense doesn't practice it.
No,
they do practice.
I am telling you.
Yeah. Eberflus said they do.
It doesn't look like it.
In college and the NFL, well, I'm telling you, we run this every single week. There is a Hail Mary drill.
So is it purely guys being lackadaisical?
Well, I think that's all it is. Did you not see what...
Look at those players.
Look at their body language. They do not think the commies have any chance of converting that.
Well, and you can tell that because dumbass, literally, the play has gone on for like 4 seconds, and he hasn't figured out that the play is going.
But he's still in that to defend him just a smidge. He's still fine. He's in the play. He just does the wrong thing.
But he's not fine because here
he does better than some of the other guys.
No. Because here's the thing: had he kept his head squarely in between his cheeks, that play doesn't happen. The only reason it got tipped is because his dumbass ran over there and tipped it.
Believe it or not, he had time to not do that.
I understand. I'm just saying, believe it or not, had he stayed in the corner for 13 seconds while Daniels ran around and taunted the fans, the Bears would have... That's how bad he was. Had he done nothing, had he fallen down and blown out his Achilles, jogging over to the play, the Bears win that game. That's how shockingly bad that play is for him.
I love the reaction from 31, too, who absolutely knew that was the wrong play. The way he like immediately rips off his chin strap.
One of my favorite things in football is the cornerback arms up, like what the the Arvydas Sabonis.
Yeah,
I love that so much.
Well, and the other one, to be fair to the Bears, because if you're a Bears, Caleb Williams looks like he's got the bad fish face. He's got Eli Manning face. He didn't deserve to win that game anyway. It's like the Bears were awful. Through three quarters, they had like 100 yards of offense. The Bears were absolutely crap, and the Commanders' defense, which is not good, completely shut them down. So, in some ways, the actual better team won that game. So I don't feel quite as bad for the Bears, but Tyreek Stevenson is a good young corner. And unfortunately, dude, that dude, that's all anyone's going to remember him for. That's Leon Lett stuff.
Yeah, the name Tyreek Stevenson will always be synonymous with blowing a Hail Mary play because you're looking at the face.
Well, he's handling it pretty well today, I will say.
Yeah, he's true. Up there taking accountability for it.
Yeah, they said that he went into the locker room and apologized, and he's answering all the questions. But still, it's just like, I just think we learned something right there. We learned that NFL players, maybe not in college, in the NFL, players do not respect the Hail Mary. No. The defense just thinks it's a whatever play.
Yeah. Well, and to be fair, I don't know how many people think... Like you saw it, I think it was in the Colts one. They just overloaded and you just don't let him get the pass off. You just overload one side, and a lot of times, you know, you need 13 seconds for your receivers to get down there. And then, look, gave Jaden Daniels credit. That son of a gun threw that thing.
Whoa.
How far on a rope?
I think they said 55 yards in the air.
Dude, it's a great throw, and he still came up short, which is, again, the shocking part. If just none of the Bears go up and get it and they let one of the Commanders catch it, game's over. I mean, he came up short. So it's just, I get why players don't take it seriously, but I mean,
you gotta be on point.
You gotta be on point.
You better be.
And that's what Stevenson said in his press conference or in his statement. He said, until there's zeros on the clock. And I just don't know if you could, in the history of the NFL, has there been a worse look than that? You're turned around, you're jawing with fans, the fans have to tell you that the play is going on, then you're late getting over to the play, you blow your assignment, you do the exact opposite of what you're supposed to do, and you're the one that tips the ball to the guy that you're supposed to be covering. I'm going out on a limb and saying that there has never been a worse look for a player in the history of the NFL than what just happened to Tyreek Stevenson.
Another thing that bothers me too is when guys do this and then they apologize.
Yeah.
Well, thanks. You just lost. Bad behavior and then apologize, not acceptable.
No.
How about this? Cut out the bad behavior. Yeah.
Don't
moron.
Don't be an idiot.
God.
I don't even know. How do you end up, John? I don't know. How do you end up like.
Well, again, you think the game's over.
You're back there.
Yeah, you believe fully that the play's inconsequential. Yep. Yeah. They're not going to matter.
This is the Bears. Dude, you hand the ball off to a backup offensive lineman at the goal line.
What was that?
And then
he fumbled it.
And then they
shocking.
No kidding. He doesn't play the position.
So hey, we're struggling to run the ball. We've struggled all year in the red zone. I got an idea. Let's behind our crappy offensive line with two backups. Let's hand it to another backup offensive lineman behind our two.
If you want to use him as a fullback.
What are you
but
doing?
Don't hand him the ball. Stupid
jackasses. And by the way, and then Jaden Daniels threw the ball 60, 65 yards to get it there. Still came up short. Here's the other one. Don't let him throw it for 20 yards before that to at least give a shot at the Hail Mary. They were like...
Yeah, Eberflus came out and said he didn't... He said that didn't matter. Did you see that?
Yeah. Here's the thing.
He called that inconsequential.
It does matter because no one, not even Anthony Richardson or Michael Vick or anyone else, anyone you want to throw in, well, Brett Favre, they can't throw the ball 80 yards.
Can I just say... Why would a coach say that anything in a football game is inconsequential? Like, no. These guys take every minute detail.
Is he just trying to protect guys?
To the nth degree. Well, no, he's protecting his own ass because he didn't do anything to stop them from getting that. How many yards was it? Like 12?
Yeah, whatever it was.
Well, that 12 yards.
But if you say it's inconsequential, doesn't that make it look like you don't know the extent of your job?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they couldn't.
Well, why didn't they guard it then? Like, what is his excuse?
By saying that, is he covering for people individually?
He's covering his... Well, no, he just is a boob.
Yeah.
Matt Eberflus sucks. Yeah. And I think it's pretty clear that the Commies, even though that game was close, kinda, the Commies are way better coached than the Bears.
Yes.
It's not even close. Yeah.
The Bears... You know.
But the Bears almost pulled it out. I mean, you got to give them credit. I mean, they're not awful. They're almost 5-2.
They are who we thought they were.
But you can't. I don't know how a coach could sit up there and say it's inconsequential that we just let them get 12 yards and set up a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
Nothing in football is inconsequential.
Oh. And it was totally inconsequential. It's exactly
what set up the play.
You didn't have to allow them to get to a Hail Mary.
He's a boob.
Which again, probably is another example of what you're saying. The coaches didn't take the Hail Mary seriously because they didn't think that letting them throw one into the end zone mattered.
That's right.
I am an ignorant boob. Yes.
Oh, my God.
And it's a very...
Can we talk about this for an hour?
We could. It's just amazing to me that we're at the point now where we're talking about the Bears as a garbage run place, which is true. It's fair. And yet we're talking about the Commies as, like, well, by the way, their defense stinks. They do not have a good defense. And yet the last couple weeks, they have got this thing playing well. And who would have thought we'd be talking about disciplined, well-coached teams involving the Commies? Like, we should be talking about both of these teams being like a joke, but we're not. We're talking about one that just has no discipline and the other one being one of the better run teams right now in the league, which is why they're 6-2. Oh, and by the way, Jaden Daniels is really good.
I think Dan Quinn's really good. I mean, Dan Quinn was on the cusp of a Super Bowl.
Yes, and he's proving it right now.
Yeah, he's just good.
Because the offense is humming, and yes, that's Kingsbury and Daniels, but I'm telling you, this defense should not, and for much of the year they have not been, it should not be able to hold teams down. And this is 2 weeks in a row where the defense has played above their head.
Hey, you guys, big show.
Yes.
A lot of sports talk right off
the top.
We're so excited for sports. You know, you gotta say this. After a walk-off grand slam in the World Series.
Holy jeez.
And that last night.
Yeah.
I mean, could you ask for two better sports finishes in the same weekend?
No.
Come on, man.
The Freddie Freeman thing was.
It was bananas.
It was unbelievable.
So we'll get to all the super hot sports talk coming up. We will start with our poll question next on The Fan.
Sports, man. Just
break
your heart or get your pants all tight, depending on who you're rooting for.
Well, I was in the clear on that one. But,
yeah, I didn't care.
But that was a cool finish.
I was sitting there being like, holy cow, just happened.
There just aren't a lot of things more exciting than a walk-off grand slam in a World Series game or a Hail Mary game winner.
Well, but like for me, when I was watching the Bears Commanders, like, because I don't have a dog in either of these fights, right? So I'm just watching as a casual observer, and the Commanders one was more like I was just sitting there and I almost laughed. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And then of course we didn't see the Stevenson idiotic, you know, back turned right away, right? I was like, oh my God, I can't believe that Hail Mary occurred. The Freddie Freeman one, though, I'm sitting there watching that and no dog in the fight. I'm on the edge of my seat, right? I mean, Ohtani comes up and you're like, oh my gosh, this is Ohtani's moment. And he pops out and you're like, oh, like deflating. And then they walk Betts and I'm sitting up there with Freddie Freeman in his one ankle And I had that thought in my head. I'm like, I instantly was like, dude, if he Kirk gets, oh, there it is. And I got up out of my seat. And that's not a Dodger fan, not a Freddie Freeman fan. I mean, he was a Met killer. But in that moment, I got up and was like, holy gee, like I was celebrating. And that's the beauty is when you don't have any interest in it, and yet the moment can still suck you in and you get caught up into it. I can only imagine what that's like to be a Dodger fan. Well, I can. It was like the Pete Alonso thing. When Pete Alonso hit that one.
Do you remember when Alex Gordon hit one off of the scoreboard in center field in Kansas City against the Mets in the World Series?
I do remember that.
In extra innings.
Hey, was that another comeback win for you guys? God, yeah, I remember
I've been able to verify this. Have you seen the thing that the Freeman home run took place 36 years to the day and down to the minute of the Kirk Gibson swing?
No.
People said both took place, or someone said both took place at 8:37 p.m. Pacific time, exactly 36
what?
Years apart.
That's
and I haven't been able to verify this, but I saw this on Twitter.
He hit it to the same part of the stands, too.
I know it's too much to ask. Freddie Freeman's got enough going on in his mind and walking around on that ankle and trying to carry the weight of his massive veneers that he's got going on.
God, those are huge, aren't they?
Oh, jeez.
Are they a little too much?
It's too much. Yeah. Freddie, my man. Like, just...
Chiclets.
Tone those things down. Those things are enormous. Tiger Woods thinks those are big. I desperately wanted him as he was rounding. If he had any forethought at all, he should have done the Kirk Gibson.
The fist pumps.
The fist pumps. But he did like the Hulk Hogan like flex as he came around second. But I was like, come on, do it. Come on, do the Gibson. Do it as you limp around. But, you know, I guess he had other things on his mind. But that was an amazing night.
Poll question on X at 1080 The Fan. On Friday, we asked you, who will you root for in the World Series? 42% of you said Dodgers, but then another 42% of you said both of them can pound sand. Only 16% said they would root for the Yankees.
Yeah. I get both teams pounding sand. I don't know why. It's probably the Ohtani factor, but I find the Dodgers to be entirely more likable. And it might just be because they're playing the Yankees. If they were playing any team other than the Yankees, I think it would be easy to hate the Dodgers. But
what if they were playing the Astros?
Oh, my God. Then, yeah, I'd be rooting for the...
We got to root against the Astros.
Yeah, root against the Astros. What the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And you know, and so the Dodgers, yeah, screw the Dodgers and their giant payroll. But it's better than the Astros. It's better than the Yankees. It's the lesser of two evils, so... You know, go.
That's what I've been saying all week.
Go Dodgers.
Last week was you know, I can't root for the Dodgers, no. But I can against the Yankees.
It's a valid point. But if this was any other team in the American League besides those, right? Then
well, yeah. No one wants to root for the Yankees or the Dodgers.
No.
But if we're presented with having to pick one, always root against the Yankees.
Yes. Man, but if this is
and it was kind of fun to watch Mr. Chow back there behind home plate.
Yeah, going nuts. You also see Mario Lopez back there.
I didn't see him.
Yeah. I told you many times.
I think Mr. Chow was drunk.
Oh, 100%. Like, he was losing it. There's nothing that the BTJ loves more than celebrity sightings. I don't know why. It's her favorite thing in the world. So in big games, she just scans behind the crowd looking for celebrities.
Yeah.
It's what she does.
I do that sometimes, too.
Yeah.
Especially in L.A.,
yeah,
because you know half of those people are all probably famous.
Yeah. So when she found Mario Lopez, you would have thought that she discovered, like...
I didn't see him.
Yeah. He was... So Mr. Chow was kind of to the left.
Mm-hmm.
Lopez was off to the right.
Okay.
But he was, you know...
Mary Hart's back there. Does she know who Mary Hart is?
I think that's probably beyond her scope.
Is it? Because she's
Yeah, she's loves...
Mary Hart's famous.
Yeah.
And she's always right front row, right behind the catcher.
Nah, I don't think the Mary Hart.
Like always.
But she was well aware of Mr. Chow and then Mario Lopez. So.
All right. Well, let's take a. Well, I was going to take a break, but now I see that Buck has left the room.
Oh.
I don't know what he's doing.
Vancouver text line, and this is another one of those where screw the Dodgers. But someone's asking, where does I Love LA rank on great sports celebration songs? It's like number one.
I love LA.
I mean, I'm sorry. If you are,
but it's not a sports song. It's a regular song.
Yes, but if your team was in LA, especially the Dodgers, and they win, and you crank up "I Love LA," tell me there's a better celebration.
I hate to say it.
What do you got?
I hate to say this.
Oh, you're gonna go Frank? Huh?
It's New York, New York.
Son of a bee.
How do you beat that?
Well,
especially just the sound of it, right?
I don't know,
like,
man.
Like right when they win, they dun. Dun, 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 dun.
Damn
come
it.
On,
the Giants do Tony Bennett, I Left My Heart in San Francisco.
That's not good.
That's good.
That's not
oh,
even
oh
close.
It's wonderful.
That's good.
It's not even close.
I don't know.
Buck having to interject San Francisco. Screw you.
It's another class. Okay, Sinatra, Tony Bennett, these things go together.
Yeah, I think that's good. I didn't know they did that, but that's not... I just don't think anything beats New York, New York.
I've always... Maybe it's just because of the upbeat nature of it, but... And I just like the song better, even though I love Frank. There is something great when the Dodgers win and you start cranking up. I Love L.A.
It's a different energy than Frank
who
thing.
Who sings that? Is that...
Randy Newman.
Randy Newman, yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty... It's a great tune. That being said, Dodgers, go away.
Okay, let's get to... now that Buck's back, we're going to take a break. And we'll get to today's poll question next. And then we'll talk about Oregon dismantling Illinois.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I did.
Kicked the crap out of them.
Yeah.
God.
So much for the big, rough and tough Illinois fighting.
Illinois.
They're no longer the fighting Illini. That would be more of the laying down Illini.
Were you ever more unimpressed by a top 25 team than that one?
I was like, really?
Jesus.
This?
So we'll get to that coming up next. But first, Buck with Sports Center. All right. Nice and long little Monday out here. Well, I guess it's Monday in a lot of places, isn't it?
Not in some. You know.
That's right.
Japan right now, it's not Monday.
Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
Today's poll question on X at 1080 The Fan. Here's what we're asking you. Which team is most unstoppable? Write me out.
Mm.
Chiefs, Dodgers, Oregon, Lions.
Mm.
Vote.
It's a good question.
And vote hard. Well, let me go get some results for you.
I mean, it's not the Chiefs. I mean, they're undefeated, but they're certainly stoppable. They just find ways to pull out games. The Lions look pretty dominant right now. You know, Dodgers, you know, that's a good question. I don't know where I'd go with that, as I think Oregon is the best team in college football right now. Feel pretty confident about that. They certainly look the best. But again, stoppable, I don't know. I don't think anyone necessarily is unstoppable. I guess I'll say the Chiefs because they like, no one's got them.
The Chiefs.
Well, they've won two Super Bowls in a row.
Well, no one's gotten Oregon either.
Yeah, but, you know, Oregon is not the two-time defending national champion.
That is true.
The Kansas City Chiefs, I don't think look good. I think their offense is really lacking. Hopkins meant nothing to them coming back, even though he played a bunch of snaps. And... You know, the Raiders suck. I think the Raiders are one of the worst teams, and yet ended up being a 7-point game. That's just what Kansas City does. But until someone beats them, it's Kansas City. You know, I don't feel great about saying that, but that's where I'm going. Proof's in the pudding.
Right now, 35% of voters have Oregon, the most unstoppable team, followed by Lions at 28%, Chiefs at 21%, Dodgers at 16%.
Well, I totally get it because and I think Oregon, 61 out of 62 votes. Georgia is odd because Georgia's got a loss and still someone voted for Georgia over, you know, a handful of the other undefeated teams. But, you know, if I'm just going to go with the undefeated teams because I'm not going to put Georgia on there because they lost a game, obviously not going to put Ohio State on there. They lost a game and they lost to Oregon. When I look at Penn State, when I look at Miami, who else would? I guess those are really the
You're
only.
Talking about the undefeateds.
Yeah, the undefeateds. Like,
well, you got BYU.
Yeah. Look, BYU had a great win, but
Indiana.
BYU's not the best team in the
Iowa
country.
Iowa State.
And neither is that. So I'll even include the one-loss teams: Georgia, Ohio State. Like, Oregon doesn't look like they have issues right now. Oregon has gotten better since that week two, the first 2 weeks, the Boise State and the Idaho games, which were just woof, right? Like, you could have lost either one of those, probably should have lost to Boise State. They have gotten better each and every week. And I can't say that about any of those other teams. You know, Georgia still looks like they're playing with the food. By the way, not Georgia, but Penn State. Penn State made a quarterback change that may end up being permanent. Drew Aller may not get that job back. And I know he got hurt, but the other guy that came in, they looked a lot better with him at quarterback. Texas, there's a reason Sark just keeps being like, oh no, Quinn Ewers is great. There's a quarterback problem there at Texas and they don't look great. And they held on to beat Vandy. Ohio State all of a sudden can't run the ball. They have O-line issues. That's their thing. They were down two O-linemen that got hurt at Oregon. Two more O-linemen went down in the game against Nebraska. And all of a sudden they can't run the ball. So there's a big issue there. Oregon right now doesn't have an issue. If I wanted to point to a weakness right now with the Ducks, if it came down to a kick, maybe you'd feel a little uncomfortable with that. But there's not injury issues. Both sides of the ball are playing really good, and they get better each and every week, and they're dismantling teams that they should dismantle. And they're coming off the biggest win in regular season program history of beating Ohio State. So Oregon looks like the best team in football right now. It's one thing to be ranked number one. It's another thing to look the part. Oregon looks the part.
I would say, I mean, if I had to nitpick Oregon.
Then that's all you can do is if you want to nitpick it.
I would say that the good teams that they've played, which I would describe or I would characterize as two of them.
Yeah. Boise State and Ohio State.
They both put up. 34 and 32 on them.
Yes.
And those are the only two good teams you played. Yeah. You know, I got to thinking, so I was watching them dismantle Illinois, and it just wasn't even a ball game. Like, and give Oregon credit, that first half was the as good as they've played all season.
Yeah.
And I think even Dan Lanning, who is just like Mr. Nitpick, right? He's always like, well, we got to improve, got to get better. I even think at him at halftime was like, we played great.
Yep.
Now, the second halves are a bit of an issue. And I don't know what that is. I don't know whether they're just calling off the dogs.
Foot off the gas or whatever.
But they had that against Illinois. They had that against UCLA. They had that against Purdue. Yeah. They had that against Michigan State.
Yeah.
But the big question that I had watching that was, and then I was poking around at the rest of the Duck schedule. You look at some of these teams they're playing in the Big Ten. It's just so odd to be playing the Michigan States and the Purdues and the Illinois. And even though that was a top 25 team, my question is, if you are going to be upset, let's say this Oregon team, which, by the way, is the best team they've ever had.
Yeah.
If you put it in the old Pac-12 versus this Big Ten, which would you rather have? Would you rather be playing a bunch of teams that have more high-octane offenses and not defense? Like, would you be more prone to being upset by that? Or are you more prone to being upset by the ground-and-pound Big Ten teams Illinois?
I know it sounds weird because I'm agreeing with you in that I think the Big Ten is a tougher conference and will be for them. This year with this version, I would much rather play in the Big Ten than I would the Pac-12.
Yeah, and that's the conclusion I came to. And I do think look, conferences go year to year.
Absolutely.
But there are themes. Nobody compares to the SEC.
No.
Never has, really. I mean, every once in a while you can have a year where you have a great
but it's
great
the best league. Conference year in and year out. We all know
there's
that.
No question. The Big Ten is tougher than the Pac-12. But with what Oregon is running out there this year, these teams, these Purdue, Illinois, Michigan State, and they're about to get another one in Michigan. And I know it's the mighty Michigan. It's the big house.
They don't have a chance.
None of these teams scare you at all. Like there's never an inkling of upset in them because they just don't have the firepower. Yep. Iowa is another one.
Yeah.
The Big Ten is littered with these teams. And this is not to say that
Wisconsin
these teams
too.
Aren't good because they are good. They have good records. They can, you know, beat good teams. But this particular Oregon team in this league this year, I don't see them losing, dude.
I don't think so.
I don't know how they lose after watching some of these. Who has the firepower to beat them?
If Ohio State's O-line is healthy and it's not, Ohio State does. But this.
Well, but they already played Ohio State. I'm saying what's on their schedule.
There's nothing. There's not. You will not. I do not believe that you will be able to. In order for one of these teams to beat Oregon, Michigan, Maryland, Wisconsin, UW. Is that right?
Michigan, Maryland, Wisconsin, UW. Yes, that's correct.
I think that's what's left.
Yeah. They're going to win all four of those.
They're going to win all four. The only way one of those beats Oregon is if the game is 21-17. And I don't know how any of these defenses hold Oregon to 17 to 20 points. Now, Michigan's defense is really good. It's still a good unit. The problem with Michigan is they will give you so many opportunities to have the ball because your offense can go nowhere. So, yeah, if Michigan had a real offense, like a top 40 offense in the country, I would say that Michigan would be problematic for Oregon. That's the style that could give them problems. But they're going to give Oregon the ball 15 times. Oregon's going to get 15 plus possessions in this game, and you're not going to hold them down. They proved that with Ohio State. Ohio State was supposed to have this great defense, but their one-on-one pass rushers couldn't beat Oregon. And if you're going to play a too high safety look, Oregon can run it down your throat. You want to play man coverage, and they proved it against seemingly good NFL DBs. They will burn you deep and a quarterback to do it. So I'm so with you that I just don't think there's another team on this schedule that scares you. Oregon's biggest threat is if Ohio State gets healthy again and seeing them in the Big Ten title game. But even if that happens, as long as you take care of business, you're still in the college football playoff. You just don't have a bye.
Yeah, these teams all kind of look the same. Michigan's basically Iowa, and Iowa's basically Illinois, and Illinois is basically...
Same thing.
Indiana looks pretty good, but they don't play them.
They don't play them.
Penn State looks pretty good, but you don't play them. So, again, then part of it's scheduling luck, which we said at the start of the year would benefit Oregon. So you have to have a weakness, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you look at Texas A&M, you know, Texas A&M came back and beat LSU. Yeah. Great win. Texas A&M may even be the leader in the SEC right now. The odds-on favorite to make the SEC title game right now. And rightly so, they've played great. But if you look closer, they gave up 405 yards through the air to LSU.
LSU shot themselves in the foot so many times.
If you look at Oregon, there's just no weakness. No. Now, you could say that the Big Ten is making Oregon's defense look better than it is.
Yeah.
Because they really only played two good teams, and those two good teams, Boise State and Ohio State, both put up over 30 on them.
Yeah.
So you could say that, but then you look again and go, they're going to play nothing but these other Big Ten teams the rest of the way.
Yeah. Well, and to your point, this is what Ohio State coming into the Oregon game had a defense that was ranked top five in like every category. And Oregon did what they wanted to against it. But to your point, so did Ohio State. They're really...
It's Oregon and Ohio State.
It's Oregon and Ohio State.
And they already played, and it was an instant classic.
Yes.
And we deserve to see it again. Yeah.
The problem is Ohio State is on the road at Penn State, and... Did you watch any of the Ohio State Nebraska game?
Yeah, second half.
When their lineman went down, I am legitimately concerned. At some point, when you get enough injuries at one position, it can be problematic. And I don't like Penn State. I've said all along, I think Penn State is a paper champion. I think it says something that they're talking that I forget who the backup quarterback was, like Plabo or something. It started with a P. I forget what that guy's name is, but he was some high recruit. And I keep having to hear about how Drew Aller is the next great guy. Aller gets banged up. The other kid goes in, and instantly their offense takes off, and he can move a little bit, and he's not a statue back there. And now there's some talk of, does Aller get his job back? Penn State is not a great team. They have serious quarterback issues.
Bo Prabula.
Yeah.
Or this Prabula.
This kid. He looked better than Drew Aller did. He was doing nothing with Aller back there. He was a statue. But Penn State at home against that Ohio State offensive line, that beat up O line that could not run the ball at all on Nebraska. That's going to be a more interesting game than if Ohio State's healthy. Yeah. And that's the one thing Oregon has going for it is they have not had that attrition at one position like Ohio State has had. Yeah,
some of it is attrition for sure.
Luck.
All right. We have statue news, and we'll get to our World Series Wagyu coming up on The Fan. All right. Short seggy. Coming up next, the World Series Wagyu. But did you see the Dwayne Wade statue they put out there?
No, that's not Dwayne Wade.
Of the...
No, that's Kelsey Grammer.
Miami Heat. Wait, what? It's Kelsey Grammer?
People have done a side-by-side. It looks a lot like Kelsey Grammer.
Kelsey Grammer apparently is a Miami Heat legend. I'm sorry. That is... That's as bad a statue.
It's rough.
As I thought the mini Iverson statue was awkward. And the best part was, did you see Dwayne Wade's reaction?
Sort of.
There is an unbelievable clip of Dwayne Wade when they unveil that thing, and he's standing there, and the look on his face, oh my gosh. That's like when on Christmas morning, you open a present from your significant other, and it's the most horrific thing you've ever seen, but you can't say it. And you're like,
he looks up at it, and then when he actually speaks in front of it, he goes, I don't know who this guy is.
Guy
and
is.
He points over his shoulder and goes, I don't know who this guy is.
Dude, they got to cut that thing's head off.
And then the sculptors did like a post-game press conference. Yeah. Did you see that?
Yeah, they so had bad. The sculptor up there.
What I don't understand is we can 3D print a human heart now. We can 3D print organs. Why don't we just 3D print the heads of statues? Because this is happening far too often. Like, how much money does it cost to hire some dude to sculpt some bronze, 15-foot statue? Just 3D print it. Or just have him do the body, because that seems to be fine, and then 3D print the head. Because whatever that thing was, I'm sorry. That thing's going to haunt someone's nightmares.
Yeah, it's pretty terrifying.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it.
It's bad.
So Dwayne Wade got a statue outside of Miami's arena. And
or Kelsey Grammer did.
Boy, his face.
It's not.
Better or worse than the Cristiano Ronaldo one?
That's tough. That's a cool.
Or the Brandy Chastain one. Those are the other two that come to mind.
I'm going to have to refresh. Cristiano Ronaldo, where's that one?
I don't remember where they...
It's somewhere, I think it's somewhere in Portugal.
I remember that when that one came out. I don't remember the Brandy Chastain one. I remember the Ronaldo.
Oh my God, the Ronaldo one is so bad too.
The Ronaldo one, to me, if I remember correctly, looked like The Miz.
Yeah.
And now look up the Brandy Chastain one.
But at least the Ronaldo one kind of looks like him.
Does it?
I mean, kind of. It's a little rough.
Brandy Chastain, it's like her hair is pulled back and she looks like a grandpa. It's like a, I think it's like a Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame plaque.
Yeah, I see it right here. Yeah, she's got the shirt off. I'm going to power rank. That's rough. Ronaldo is 3.
Or no, look up Brandy Chastain plaque. It's not the statue, it's the plaque. She looks like an old grandma. No, the statue's cool.
No, I'm looking at... You think the statue looks like her?
More than the plaque looks like her. Plaque looks like an old grandfather.
It's more about the pose. Like, that's the iconic where she took off her shirt and slid on her knees.
Yeah.
It's more about that.
So it kind of... Okay, so let's see the plaque. Whoa!
Oh my God. Yep, what?
We got a winner.
There's no way that's real.
Yes, it is.
They're saying that's Brandy Chastain?
Yes. Boy, we got a winner. All right. Well, not even close anymore. Chastain 1, Dwayne Wade 2.
It looks like Rex Ryan.
Wow. If you're Brandy Chastain, like, that's insulting.
That is insulting.
That hurts.
Are we going to have people start turning down statue opportunities?
You're like, yeah, I'm not.
You're like, yeah, I don't.
I'm not.
I don't need a statue.
Boy, I was not aware of the Brandy Chastain plaque, and I'm
sometimes it looks like Troy Aikman.
I'm kind of upset that now I know about it. Do you think that looks like Troy Aikman?
No, somebody did a side by side where it actually, John Elway.
It just looks like a. It looks like Rex Ryan.
It does look like Rex Ryan.
Fat Midwestern woman, like. Remember, like, when you would watch, like, wrestling when you were a kid and the wrestlers didn't have to be in good shape? You just had some fat guy and, like, you know, he'd get his ass kicked by Dusty Rhodes. That's what that looks like.
You know, this is what happens when we don't fund the arts.
John, you end up with a John Elway Brandy Chastain plaque?
Fund the arts or else.
Boy, if there's a photo of her standing next to it, giving it the thumbs, the thumbs up. Has she commented on this?
That I don't know.
Because what do you say? Like, and that's, by the way, that's in the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame.
Well, you kind of have to, I mean, isn't that a situation where you just have to, I mean, you can't, you just have to lie. You just have to be, oh, this is great. Daddy's always happy. You know, that type of thing.
Someone else looks like Gary Busey.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, I could see that.
Gary Busey.
Oh, by the way, I did look it up. This, according to the San Francisco Gate, Chastain told the Chronicle that Ann Killian on Tuesday, the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame said they are going to redo the plaque.
Yeah, good.
And ask her for a photo of my choosing. So,
what photo was that based off of? 40 years in the future?
I don't
know. It must not be easy.
I don't. It's
to make.
We have 3D technology now.
But it can't be that easy. These sculptors aren't getting it right.
Boy, that's rough. Well, can't you two make a mold? Like, that's what they do in Hollywood. Like, when Schwarzenegger makes prosthetics, like the Terminator, they just make a mold of his face. And then you cast it in resin or bronze or whatever you're doing. Just do that. Cast the face. Don't do that. Although, if you're Dwayne Wade, Dwayne Wade, like, goes home and he's all upset, does anyone be like, hey, at least you're not Brandy Chastain? He's like, yeah, valid point.
Someone should alert him.
Yes. If you're a loved one of Dwayne Wade.
To make him feel better.
Point him in that direction and we can do a, you know, hey, at least you're not this.
All right, World Series Wagyu next on The Fan.